Be happy. In every life we have some trouble.
Hello, this is Gail Moskowitz, and thank you for listening to Mental Health Matters. On today's show, we are going to discuss looking forward to retirement. So, what should you know? As you know, Mental Health Matters is a program dedicated to issues pertaining to mental health, interpersonal relations, addiction, sex and sexuality, and hopefully discussing healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and a more emotionally honest and fulfilling life. Each week, we highlight an issue, discuss it, and after which the audience, you, the audience, have an opportunity to ask questions or weigh in on the subject. The number at which to reach us today is 649-9737, 649-9737. Mental Health Matters comes to you every Thursday at 1 p.m. on WRIR 97.3 FM on your dial. You can also listen to the program in real time by logging on to WRIR's website, www.wrir.org. The show will be available for you to listen to by this evening, along with all the past shows, by logging on to my website, which you can get to by logging on to WRIR's website. Just click on my show on WRIR's website, and it'll take you right to where you need to go. I am happy to send you a link to my email, to my site, if you email me at yourmentalhealthmatters@gmail.com. Those are the letters, yourmentalhealthmatters@gmail.com, all one word. So feel free to send me your comments, questions, or suggestions for a future show. Our topic today is retirement. And I think how many of us see retirement as our just reward for a life of toil. Yet, I have come to see that people who live a life of meaning and joy, they generally start feeling good about their lives way before retirement. My guest today is Evelyn Lampert. She is a licensed clinical social worker, retired. Ms. Lampert established and ran the Richmond Employee Assistance Program for 25 years, or probably even a little more than that. I'm not sure. I'll have to check that out with her. She is an innovative person. She's an innovator and an amazingly hard worker. And I believed she is a person who lived each of her days with all that she had to give. I think she is a wise individual who might have some good insights for us. Evelyn, I welcome you to Mental Health Matters.
Thank you, Gail. It's great to be here.
And if you'd like to reach Evelyn today, please call us at 649-9737. You know, Evelyn, when I was putting the show together today, I remembered you had a sign in your office that reminded people that this is your life and not a dress rehearsal.
Yes.
So what a perfect way to move into the topic of retirement, because it's not the end, it's another chapter. So as I begin to look at all the information about retirement, I started looking through the materials, and all I could find was how to calculate your finances about retirement, and the information didn't really focus on anything else. I just can't believe that money is the only thing that we have to think about as we move into this. So I don't know. Tell us what you think goes into the process.
I truly believe that many more things besides financial planning help have a successful next stage of life, the stage that we do call retirement. I do want to add, though, right here, that financial security, where a person feels safe, can pay his or her bills, can afford the life that he or she wants to lead, that is very important. And I would like to direct our comments today around the kind of retirement one could have if he or she can afford it. So financial planning we should leave to the other kinds of planners. But emotional preparation for retirement, social preparation for retirement, these are things that don't have that much to do with money, but things that have to do with our intelligence and our wisdom for having a good life.
Well, it is interesting because, I watch people move into retirement sometimes in with the same chaos that they've lived their in which they've lived their lives, and I don't think they're going to do much better. So I was looking through the materials, and I saw that William Safire had something to say. He said, "But retaining a fresh stimulation are what all of us should require in the last of our life." I like that. When we quit a job, but we quit fresh involvement in our mental peril, then where does that leave us? So I don't know. What do you have to say about staying connected to the world and staying happy and staying fulfilled?
I believe that you can do all that while retired. Obviously, when you're at work, you have many connections. You have tasks to do. You have people who are expecting things from you. You're expecting things from them. And at retirement, that might change a lot. But along with what the ideas that Safire said, that you need to be alert mentally and, I would say, simply able to learn new things, which keeps you fresh and young.
I think some people think they can't learn anything new.
Yeah, I don't think that's true. I have watched many people decide and with the proper motivation be very able to learn new things. So my take on this is that you need to be able to learn new things all through your life, one, and you need to be able to meet new people and make new friends all through your life. And assuming that you can afford your life financially, and I'm not talking about being able to have very expensive things to do in retirement, but just to afford comfort and security. And we haven't discussed health, of course, because that can interfere with anything at any time of life with being happy. But assuming financial affordability and reasonable health, the two factors that I think are the most important for a retirement to be successful are, one, to be able to learn new things, and two, to be able to make new friendships.
You know, so my question was, is were there any real surprises for you? Because certainly, you know, you set yourself up financially to be able to retire. You moved in to retirement without the chaos because that's how you've always lived your life. But did anything surprise you in particular when you first retired?
For me, the most surprising thing was how much I loved it.
Oh, wow.
And I was afraid that I would very much miss the power that my work with all its relationships, many people turning to me for my thoughts, my advice, this was going to change, I realized. I found that it was easy to let that part go because I had done it and had felt good about it for many years and now was ready not for that burden, responsibility, and so forth.
Boy, that makes me feel good. That
yes,
gives me hope,
yes.
Evelyn. I'm talking to Evelyn Lampert. This is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. We're talking about retirement. And if you would like to ask Evelyn a question, please feel free to call 649-9737. 649-9737. So what do you suggest for people to do emotionally to prepare themselves?
I think they need to begin by imagining themselves having different days, because your days are very different. One of the pitfalls of retirement is the fear of not enough structure, and I do think that can throw some folks because they had been very governed by their clock and their calendar, as certainly people who work full-time are and should be. But once you don't have that structure, you need to decide how are you going to structure your life. And I think, like most things, it begins with your imagination. What do you see yourself doing that's possible for you? What are your dreams? I was very fortunate because I was able to start my retirement while I was still working. By that I mean I was self-employed, And I began to work a little less and to use that time, the time when I was no longer working fully, to explore some things so that I wasn't promising myself I would love doing certain things that it turns out I haven't really loved once I tried them. I could give you several examples of brief encounters with something that I'm not doing anymore, even though I always thought when I retire, I would love to do this.
What are those things?
Oh, writing the great American novel. I have about 20 pages of it written.
I'm sure that 20 really good
they
pages.
They are so good. But I find myself not that interested to running to the computer to do that. Some new things, for example, that enter one's lives all the time. For me, it's been an introduction to group exercise classes. I always did that some, but they were in the evening. And now that I'm older, I love doing that in the morning. So setting up some structure, I think, makes sense. And for me, that has worked very well.
So some of us are structured people. For me, I am a person who, if I have a block of time, I can't keep myself from filling it. I'm constantly thinking of new things to do. So how do you allow yourself to relax and not be, you know, not right. have the structure?
I have enjoyed.
I'm looking forward to this
yes.
answer.
Okay, Gail. I have so enjoyed the ability to maybe between activities, which I might have a morning exercise class and then have lunch with a friend, a volunteer meeting, and then a break of structure until 5 o'clock in the evening. And I enjoy making myself go home, and that's when I might read for a while in the afternoon, which even after 3 years still feels frightfully decadent, but I know that it is not a bad thing to do, or watch one of those wonderful TV shows that I would like to watch at 10 o'clock at night, but often want to go to bed instead. So there's this great program in our world now for me called Video on Demand, and I can do that, and it feels great.
So just giving yourself permission to not fill every moment, to be able to sit with yourself, to do those things that felt decadent when you were 30.
Right. But sometimes not having the structure has provided me with the opportunity to make the phone call to a cousin who lives in another city and really catch up.
Yes.
Or to actually read about my grandchildren on Facebook and see
That's
the
great.
Pictures of all their friends. They each have at least 1,000 friends, you know. I myself don't have quite that many.
What are the pitfalls that you see retired individuals falling into?
Well, I think for people who were very structured and only identified with being productive and it being at work all the time, have their main identity being a worker all the time, probably find it pretty shocking to have blocks of time that are not filled. So I think that for some people, retirement has led to isolation feelings, uselessness feelings, and for some married folks, trouble for the first time in their marriage now that they're together so much more. So I think people need to know themselves and figure out for themselves what will avoid those pitfalls.
So in what I hear you saying is that creating structure, which has some flexibility,
yes,
doing those things that truly feel enjoyable, testing them out, and if you don't like them, don't keep doing them, and not and working to decide who you are doesn't have to be so tethered to what you do, and that's a really big piece of it. You have to let go of defining yourself by the power of work and the power of what you do as a worker?
I think that is very critical. Many people, and I do think there's a difference between men and women about this, many people, particularly men, who are of retirement age now, so therefore, when they were 25 and 35 and 45, they had a role in life that was pretty much acceptable if they only worked and came home to rest, versus women, even who have been working full time, many times felt more responsibility for other aspects of life, family, running the home, the children in a different way, and the emotional work of the family. So I think when people have had more than one primary role, they can expand some of the other roles, such as the retirement tasks, more easily than people who really only thought of themselves as their profession allowed them to think of themselves.
I absolutely agree with you. And I do probably think that separates along gender lines, that women sort of traditionally had to see themselves in so many different roles. But even at that, one of the things that I watch is that my friends who are older and retired, their kids have moved away, their grandchildren aren't around, they don't have work to rely on anymore, and they feel lonely and sad. And what do you say to those people?
I think that for many people, their imagination needs to come into play, and they need to try to envision themselves somewhere else rather than staying in their home by themselves, which before very long creates boredom and even depression. I believe there are many, many places where people can find excellent activity and companionship. I'm speaking for myself here, the community center. I go to the Weinstein JCC, a plug for the J, and my friends next door go to the Y, and other friends hang out a lot at American Family Fitness. All of these places have two important components, at least. They have a place to exercise.
Which you think is very important.
Which I think is critically important. No matter what one's shape is, weight or size, exercise as you get older is very, very important for the obvious health reasons, but also for the aspect of the companionship if you do exercise in some group activity, a gym. And the other part of community centers is that frequently others there are also retiring and looking for new companionship or friendships. So many of my friends, and I remember clients when I was working telling me that they made a whole new group of friendships taking a class somewhere. Other places to enjoy, and I'm going to say that some of these have a cost, but usually not a very expensive cost. Some have to support itself, but not, you know, exorbitant. People can go and do lots of little things, classes with people that they might not have known. But after all, if you decide to take, as a couple of friends and I did, an art appreciation class, well, the others there also had some interest in art appreciation or they wouldn't have gone there. And that gives one an opportunity to at least begin to establish some companionship. I think companionship as you retire is very important. And some people do not realize that when you get to a place like the senior class at the Y, others are probably also looking for friendships there.
This is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. I'm talking to Evelyn Lampert this afternoon, and we're talking about retirement. If you'd like to ask Evelyn a question, please feel free to call 649-9737. So as we kind of wind down, okay, do you think that there is a different set of issues faced by married individuals versus single individuals?
I do. But I think we need to start with the obvious fact that some married individuals are very happy in their marriages. Others are married, but not so. Other individuals who are single enjoy their independence and their freedom from the responsibility of significant others living with them usually or requiring care as well as receiving all that. They like being by themselves. Other single people do not feel that pleasure in the independence and instead feel lonely and longing for a relationship. So with that in mind, let's think about when married people are happy retired. They often are because they're already happy and now they have more time to be companionable and spend more quality time with their spouse. Usually there's a redivision of labor as people are now both at home more and sharing things that perhaps were more role defined at some other point in life.
So it always goes back to how happy you want to make yourself.
Yes. And if you were happily married before, I do think, and I think it's critical to remember that if someone has been single and has been lonely, work is probably one of the best things in that person's life. Even if they complain about it frequently, they are still, that person is still attached to work and to the connections it makes. So when work ends for that person, he or she is really going to have to do some hard imagining first and then making some plans to find the good places and the good things to do for herself.
You know, I think about the people who I have seen in my office, clients who get to the end of work and retire and let themselves fall into a sense of despair and depression, and they don't do those things that you're talking about to keep themselves get a fresh perspective and stay connected and believe they can still learn things. So as you kind of move about your life, what do you see? What are you seeing now among your friends? Are they taking retirement differently than it used to be? Are they taking in all the things around them? Do they date? Do they, you know?
Well, I'll divide my friends into the category of first men and women and then married or not so. Men and women, most of the retired friends that I've been spending a lot of time with are women, and I would say almost across the board, they have been, like me, loving it. The men that have retired have gone back to work part-time, and that's something that I wanted to talk about when I think of what can people plan that are the best things for retirement.
You know what? We're not going to have time.
All right.
We have run out of time. But you know what? You can come back and talk about that.
That sounds
and
great.
And you can also give me that information, and I can put it on my website, and you all can read about it.
Well, I have several points, so I'd be happy to do that.
Wonderful. Thank you for coming, Evelyn. It's absolutely wonderful to see you, and thank you all for listening to Mental Health Matters. And I will see you next week, Thursday, 1 o'clock.
Thank you.
Be happy. Every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double, don't